And joining us on the second part of Perspectives today is Eva Kirk. And Eva is a treasure, and she's here to talk about her first novel, Paper Dolls, God's Little Cut-Ups. But that is not her first book. She has written two inspirational books. They are called Sharing My Thoughts With You, a selection of scripture extracted from the Bible pertaining to women who over 2,000 years ago struggled with pretty much the same issues that women face today. And her second book, Nothing to Draw With and The Well is Deep, written in 1996, gave her the true recognition that she deserved. She is also a former host of a television show that was aired in Oakland, and she is right now residing in Tennessee, but she is a native of El Paso, as I mentioned, and we're very proud to have her with us today. Eva, thank you very much for being with us, and congratulations for making us all proud.
Thank you for having me.
Now, as I mentioned, the fact that you, well, you came to school here, and then later on, you published two books, you were on TV, but tell us a little bit about your growing up. Had you always wanted to be a writer, or were you a storyteller? Did you journal? I know that's a lot of questions there, but pretty much just tell me a little bit about your childhood.
Well, actually, I always believed that it was something special about me. It started early in life. Our father had us always involved in some type of activity that dealt with drama, dancing, some kind of performing. And actually, me and my brother, we were the first African-American children to perform in the El Paso Playhouse. The first play that I remember performing in was the Helen Keller story, The Miracle Worker. And then my brother went on to do a couple of more plays. I know one of them was Under the Yum Yum Tree. And from there, my father also had us dancing at halftime at the wrestling matches that they used to have at the El Paso Coliseum. So Mr. Guerrero and those great wrestlers back then, we actually knew those famous wrestlers back in those many years ago. And then from there, when I actually started high school, I realized that I wanted to be a speech therapist. So from speech therapy, wanting to be a speech therapist, I think that's what led me into starting to the writing aspect of what I do now.
And is that what you studied, speech therapy?
No, actually, my secondary choice career was to be a nurse. I wanted to be an RN. So I did a little science, took a few science classes, but then I ended up getting married, having children, and became a housewife. And my husband at that time graduated from this university. And then we left and went to Dallas, Texas. So everything was kind of put on hold. And then years later, I became involved in my church and started doing a lot of church work. And it started from reciting little poems, from doing the welcoming people in on Sunday morning, to just writing about, they would have me do, speaking at little breakfasts and luncheons and things like that. And so I just made a compilation
of everything that you did?
Yes, of everything that I did. And that's how we got into my first book, Sharing My Thoughts With You.
Now, when you talked about you and your brother being the first African-American actors at the El Paso Playhouse, and in 2016, University of Texas at El Paso was celebrating the 50th anniversary of the 1966 game and the game that broke color barrier in sports. With you and your brother coming on at the El Paso Playhouse, had that been a struggle or was it easy for you to come into the Playhouse as being the first African-American actors?
I think that was easy because we were so young. I think we were probably like 8 or 9. And before my father joined the police force, we would go with him to clean up at the Heart Association building. And he knew somebody that they needed some little children to play that part. And they knew about us, our dancing and all of that. So we went in and auditioned and they liked us. So really, actually, at that age, I think children don't understand the color barrier.
They learn it from adults.
You know, so I really don't think that it was that big of a struggle for me. And actually, I didn't realize color barrier issue until I left and went to Dallas, Texas as an older adult. Not adult, like 16 or 17 years old. No, I'm going to take it back. When we would go vacationing with my parents to take us on vacation, I noticed that when we would go to the stores and certain areas we couldn't go in, certain places we couldn't go. But when I was here in El Paso growing up, I really didn't experience that because I played with Mexican children. I went to school with them, you know. So I just thought everything was normal. I really did. Until I really got out of the bounds of El Paso, Texas, I thought I was living a natural, this was natural for us to interact. So the label that was put on the first African-American children at the theater was, I think that came from us being able to audition at that time. And we had the talent and they liked us because also we danced on the Johnny Fairchild show and the Steve Krosno. So that opened all kind of doors for us. And I don't think I really realized the color barrier, like I said earlier, until I left El Paso, Texas.
And when you left El Paso, as you mentioned, when you went to Dallas, that prompted you to write your first book.
Mm-hmm.
And as I mentioned at the beginning of the interview, you have written two inspirational books. So the first one, you talk about women and some of the issues that women face back in biblical times and some of the problems that they face today, and you kind of brought them together. How difficult was that? Or imagine it's a lot of research you had to do and kind of compare notes, and because people might say, well, things were very different back then.
Mm-hmm.
But then the more different they are, the more they stay the same.
Well, I think, well, what happened with that situation, when I did the first book, I was then living in California. And I would go up to the UC Berkeley Theological Library and go into their books of antiquity. And anybody that reads the Bible and have some understanding of religious history know that back in that time, women didn't have any say-so unless they were married to someone of prominence or they had to have a husband or a brother, somebody that could take care of them and make a way for them. And so I think that they were very much, but I guess I could say, limited as to what they could say. And they had no status. And I think I brought it up to be relevant to this day and time because I think it's basically the same way now. If you don't have an education, if you don't have anybody to speak for you, it's very limited as doors and opportunities that are opened up for you. So when you're not allowed to pursue certain goals or see yourself as being able to take care of yourself, that was not allowed back during that time. And I think in the early 50s and 60s, a lot of women didn't have as much say-so as they do now. So that's why I was able to take a few of the women in the scripture, and I mostly focus on the issues where they were being abused. That was the concern for me, the say-so, their rights, trying to establish themselves as women who could take care of themselves, and that they weren't allowed to do that. It was a struggle. So that's how I was able to bring those issues back then to kind of make it relevant to what was going on at the time.
You went on to write another inspirational book, but then you did a turnaround and you not only attempted to write your first novel, but you did. You had it published. It's called Paper Dolls, God's Little Cut-Ups, and you've had some very good reviews about the book already, saying that it's very funny, witty, but also very personal as far as people being able to relate to the different stories. So tell us about your change from writing inspirational writings to writing a novel.
Well, Paper Dolls, God's Little Cut-Ups is an inspirational story. It has an inspirational base. And what happened, I experienced abuse. Some molestation growing up. And I internalized that for many, many, many years. So that's what prompted me to write paper dolls. I was told, you need to write a novel from the last two books that I had written. And so I sat down one evening and I started writing. And it just flowed. I realized I had internalized the pain from being abused, that there were some areas of my life that I'm not very proud of because I internalized the hurt and the pain. So the only way that I could free myself was through this writing. So I found myself telling my story, three different egos that I had, and sharing different areas of those personalities, the different things that happened to me through these different women, I was able to put together this novel, and it released me from the hurt and pain. It was a catharsis for me. So what I want women to get out of this book, or whoever reads this book, is that you don't have to be a victim. You can choose to be a victor. And that was what I chose to be, a victor, in spite of the abuse, that mental anguish and pain that I carried around for so many years.
And if you don't mind, I would like to read what you have written here before your novel and after the foreword, where it says part one. And this is your writing, your quote, and it says, "The hands of God are like scissors that have cut and shaped the souls of man into human paper dolls. Unlike paper dolls, the patterns of life for humanity are all different. They are never cut from the same moral fabric." Eva Kirk. Tell us, when you wrote that, well, just...
You know,
it's hard to explain.
I didn't realize how deep I had gotten when I was writing this book. But I honestly believe that all of us, God must have had a sense of humor when he made us. And he knew purpose and plan and destiny for our lives before we were even conceived. And so I think that none of us are the same, and none of us are cut out of the same pattern. So I think as we journey through this life, we have to find purpose and destiny and get past hurt and pain that we will experience or have experienced on the way to wherever it is that we're supposed to find self-worth. So and that's how I look at my life now. I realize that on my life, I have a certain kind of responsibility and calling on my life to write books that will inspire and encourage women and let them know, no matter what they go through, the challenges, whether it's health, finances, relationships, abuse, they can still move past that and find purpose and destiny. They may be damaged, but they can still be successful. And then they can, whether they want to choose a spiritual aspect of life to work through their pain, they can do that. Some people choose yoga or whatever it is they need to do to get past the pain. But you can get past it and be successful, productive people.
We've been visiting with Eva Kirk. She is the author of her first novel. She is a published author, but this is her first novel, Paper Dolls, God's Little Cut-Ups. And Eva, if you wouldn't mind telling us, can people go to Amazon to buy this book, or where can they find it?
They can go to my webpage, evakirk.com. They can buy the book anywhere where books are sold. And also they can go to amazon.com and get the book. And also, I don't know when this is airing, but I'll be at the Freedom Crossing for a week doing signings, and I'll be at the Barnes & Noble's Fair at the Fountains on the 27th of February of this year.
Well, thank you so much for being with us here today.
Thank you. I'm glad that you had me here.
Perspectives is taped and produced at the KTEP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Evan Walsh. Our producer is Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Perspectives. I'm Louis Sines.